Daily Drive is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds. Want to know how dealerships like yours saw increased profit performance dealership-wide? Visit reyrey.com/KPI to read the Impact on Profitability study. That's reyrey.com/KPI.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Thursday, September 10th. No one will ever confuse car dealer Karina Deal with withholding her emotions about things, whether it's the auto industry or the world in general. Karina speaks her mind. She tells it like it is. It's just that simple. And when she looks around at her world today, she sees vehicle grosses that are fabulous, in her words, and a car business that has bounced back better than she ever could have imagined. The world is not perfect in Western Pennsylvania, where she lives. Social unrest and recent activity in Pittsburgh made national news this week, and the state has kept guidelines in place restricting many social activities. But generally, life is good for Karina Deal. It's just tomorrow that she's potentially most worried about. We've reached Deal Automotive Group President Karina Deal in Pittsburgh. Hi there, Karina. How are you?
Hi, Jason. I'm great. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk to you again. Of course, many of our listeners and audience members would have seen you on our Retail Forum dealer discussion video that we did back. It's only a month ago, but it seems like it's tough to figure out how time is passing these days, or our perception of time anyway. It seems like a long time ago.
It really does. Seems like a lifetime ago, and it has only been a month. Crazy.
Yes, is it? Exactly right. Tell me now, give us a little bit of an update. Life in your world, what does it look like from your purview?
So life in my world, I'm still in the Democratic state of Pennsylvania, and we're still on a major COVID lockdown, 25% restaurant capacity. Bars aren't open. It really strange environment. You know, I talk to friends around the country, and a lot of them have life that looks normal. Mm-hmm. From an auto, and it's making everybody nuts. We had a major event here with some disgruntled, Antifa people coming through the streets. It was hard. It's the first time we've really experienced that. Mm-hmm. So the city, the Western PA, Pittsburgh, which I live in downtown, is just everybody's kind of off and frustrated. But now take it to the automotive side. My stores are rocking.
Wow.
Absolutely have broken every
capital
record.
R.
Yeah. I crazy, crazy numbers going on. And my big fear is that it's the bubble's going to burst. And, you know, I'm sure you talk about this, and all of us as dealers talk about it. And I talk about it with my people. So I'm sitting back today getting my statements or pulling in, and I'm just going, damn. This is some crazy shit. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
What has changed so significantly? Give us a little peek into your business operations. Where are you really doing well?
It's all the gross on sales. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's absolute gross on new and used car sales through and through. I mean, my collision centers have slowed down, which they traditionally do in the summer. You know, it's kind of like January automotive sales, but the gross on new and used is through the roof. And, you know, I was talking to one of my managers, my Toyota guy, and I said, Jerry, seriously, tell me what you're thinking. And we average about 100 new Toyotas a month out of my Toyota store. And he said, Karina, you know, it's really funny. When I have 40 or 50 Tacomas, it's really hard for someone to make a decision. They know they can come back and they're still going to have a variety. But when I have two and I'm serving them at MSRP, they're jumping on the deals, you know, and inventory being so tight and all the great products that I need to sell. And, you know, it's really mind boggling. I think our guys have learned to hold gross again, which is glorious. You know, and then you go on to the conversations and the concerns about, you know, restocking inventory, floor plan expense, where are we going to be? Are we going to fall back into our crazy habits and their habits of giving cars away because everybody else is, right? And I don't think I'm that unusual from any other dealer group. So it's all just crazy. and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely loving this stuff.
There's the quote of the year, I think, right there. You told us a month ago, you said the supply and demand right now is glorious. To your earlier point, you said used, obviously gross is fabulous was your quote, yep. But inventory has also been hard to come by. I'm guessing that's not been cleared up for you, although you did also say that you're going to be inundated with product in the next few months. You still believe that to be true?
Interesting. Inventory is still really tight. Toyota's telling me it's going to be a few more months, although it's getting better. I keep hearing that from all my manufacturers. It's getting better. You know, I'm begging for product on the GM line. I can't get enough trucks. I feel like I'm stuck where we were a month ago. And, you know, do I believe I'm going to get them all in January? Sure, because that's how crap works, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get them at the slowest time of the year and sit on them for months at a time. Do I think that everybody's getting smarter with inventory? I do. Do I hope to have more inventory? Absolutely. But then again, I don't want to be stuck with 500 Dodge Ram, you know, cab trucks or whatever the heck they are.
You mentioned getting smarter. How do you think your operation has gotten smarter in the last number of months?
Wow. In lots of ways. I think we've learned to live within our own inventory boundaries, you know, instead of constantly trading. Again, I have 5 CDJ stores, right? So it was always just go to the other store, get it from another store, dealer, trade it. Now I think that everybody's realized they're capable of selling with our units on the ground at that time. I think in the used car terms, we've definitely stepped up on things we would have previously have sent to auction. That now we're retailing, we're putting it through the shop, we're spending the extra money to make the car right. Where again, you know, go back 3 months, we were just launched, or 6 months. I can't believe COVID's been going on for seven months,
yeah.
Yeah, insanity. But, you know, back then, I think my guys were lazy and it was easier to worry about just don't get it fixed, don't run it through the shop, run it through the auction, don't worry about it. So I've seen us turn around in that regard. I've also seen us retailing lower priced used cars, which I worry about. You know, things go wrong, as we all know. You get an older vehicle and damn, you turn around and regardless of what you do in the shop, a month later, they're coming back and they're not happy campers. So I've stayed away from that market and now we're coming back to that to a degree, but we're putting more money into the vehicles.
How about your staff? How have you adjusted with your staff to as we kind of mark that 6 month period?
I think I'm back to almost everybody prior to COVID.
Okay.
I think of a few people that were dead weight that we should have gotten rid of, you know, but I'm really loyal to the people that work with me and you hold on. And I think they found it was probably the best option not to come back when we didn't invite them back.
Right.
You know, I think we've thinned out a little bit in a positive sense, and there were no hard feelings at all. We've done a lot more pickup and delivery in the past. People don't want to touch that now, it seems, where I recall Brian, you know, talking about, or our New York friend talking mm-hmm. about, you know, pickup and deliveries. Our customer base doesn't seem to want it. They don't want us in their cars as much. Interesting, right?
Yes. Yeah, fascinating. And to your earlier point, I mean, you're also in an environment appears to be hypersensitive to a lot of physical activity anyway, physical movement.
Very much so. Yeah, you know, again, if you watch the news here, it's insanity. The local news, sports are all local, high school sports shut down, schools are on hybrid modes. With children having the option. And I don't know what's going on in other states, but I would assume other states are more liberal in that regard. You know, kids not having to go to school. I was talking to a school teacher, friend of mine the other day, and he's like, yeah, kids don't have to come to school. They can do hybrid school. They can come one day. They don't have to come one day. It's insane from a teaching perspective because you're looking at a computer, you're talking to kids, but if they don't show up one day, oh, well, they don't have to.
Right.
I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of sad. Mm-hmm. Accountability, right? Going back to the core of life and in general, it's just accountability. So
We recently published this week in Automotive News our quarterly dealer sentiment index survey, where we go out and ask dealers how they feel about various parts of their business and how they feel about the economy. Dealers reported record low optimism, not surprisingly, in the second quarter, and now we're on a record-breaking turnaround as we look at, you know, things like a rebound and issues that certainly are much more positive. When you look to the fourth quarter, what are your biggest, what are your warning signs? Where's your optimism? What are the challenges?
Wow. You know, I sit here and I worry. There's so much uncertainty. Obviously, the presidential race is going to have a lot to do with it. You know, I think if we get Biden in, we're all screwed. But that's my personal thought process. I worry that I'm going to have a ton of inventory. I worry that the excess income that people have had may very well go away, which is a lot of what I attribute our current sales to, right? No travel, no fun, no events, no sporting events, no concerts, no nothing. People are just not doing anything. So There's a lot of excess revenue. And I worry that that very well may go away. I'm concerned for Q4. I truly worry that this wonderful ride we're on is going to slow down, which is going to cause everyone else's enthusiasm below me to slow down, right? And then they go from being on the top of the roller coaster, having done their ride, and then becoming very frustrated.
Yeah. You've gone through your share of roller coaster rides.
I sure have, Ben.
And this one is one that I think, I mean, someone had said this past week, which has been said before, that one thing about any crisis is that it does end. What are we going to walk away from in this one and really learn from?
I think we're going to learn to value each other and learn to respect what we do a little more. And I think we're going to learn that we have to always save money from an internal perspective. And I think we're going to learn that family values are what really keep us alive through all of this and giving back to our communities. I've certainly learned a lot about people, and one of the things I've learned that has nothing to do with automotive is that I can be friendlier to people I don't know. Sounds crazy, right? But I have a home on a lake, and I was very isolated. I had my little group of friends, but when you're stuck, not going anywhere or doing anything, you learn to communicate much better with the people around you. Because
true.
You tend to have a little more time. And people are all very interesting. Doesn't matter who you talk to. They have a beautiful view on life if you let them share it. So that's one of the big things I've learned from an automotive perspective. All I've learned is, boy, this one knocked me on my knees, knocked the shit out of me, didn't know how to handle it. This one, having lost my husband, having lived through 08, 09, having gotten into the car business and being treated like I was an outsider and a woman and not being given any respect early on, this one really threw me. I, as I'm sure it did everyone, when the state comes in and tells you you're shutting your doors,
yeah.
You're going, how's this legal? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've called my lawyer and said, sue Wolf. You know, there's got to be a way for me to sue him. He's killing me financially.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've also learned that you can't just sue the government because nobody gives a shit, right? You know, we had this major event in front of my apartment building downtown where these protesters, which I don't know they were walking into restaurants, smashing glasses and tables, and it was horrid. And I immediately called my attorney and said, the mayor's not doing anything. Do I have any legal rights? My property value is going down. He's going, it's not going to work because you get to the Supreme Court of the state and they won't do anything. So I've also learned that I can't control as much as I think I'd like to control, which is scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, when you think about it, there are so many people's livelihoods that have just been destroyed. And honestly, I get it's a virus. I get people have died. I get the percentages are really small. But at what point do you allow the economy to come back? So the government scared me on this one.
What's the situation in downtown Pittsburgh like now?
You know, I the weekend's passed. It's all over the news. The police are supposedly investigating who those people were. And, you know, you wonder if they're outsiders coming in causing disruption. It's been all over the media. Somebody put it out there. I think I even put it out there on LinkedIn. It's just scary because you've got so many restaurants that are living on this little patio space, and then you have protesters. And again, you know, everybody's got a right to protest peacefully coming through, and just it's insanity. And you don't have any police presence around. And I have friends on the force that essentially are told to stand down. And it's scary, right? Because the next person that they go up to that they threaten may very well be caring, and it may not quite turn out as they'd like. So it's all just crappy. I like everyone I speak with, we all just want some sense of normalcy, and then the winter coming, right? So now I'm a snow skier, go out west and ski a couple times a year. We've been talking about, because I go with the same group of people, how's that going to work? Like, are we going to sit on opposite ends of the chairlift?
Mm-hmm.
So they just came out with, you can get reservations if you have an Epic Pass, which we get. But you think, okay, is that the normal for skiing now? Do half the people get to go on the mountain? You know, and again, restaurants, if you've got 25% capacity inside, how hard is it to go? And they shut us down at 11 at night. And I don't know when we get back to some sense of normal and what is normal.
Right.
We're still wearing masks at the dealership. And I was talking to one of my salespeople earlier, and he's like, you know, I hate this, and I do it out of respect to everyone, including you. But he said, most of the customers don't want to wear them either.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Right.
Right.
What do you do?
Right.
You try to follow the rules.
You try to follow the rules, and you try to keep selling cars.
Keep selling cars. Yeah, I want to keep selling cars. That's on the top of the list. And so far, we've come out strong for an early start. So I'm thinking September is going to be another promising month.
Well, that's good news to hear from you, indeed. Yes. Karina, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for sharing your views with our audience and giving us a bit of a glimpse into your world.
Oh, thank you. And hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
I'm sure we will. Karina, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We reached Deal Automotive Group President Karina Deal in Pittsburgh. And that's Daily Drive for Thursday, September 10th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 100 stories, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Friday. Now, a word from our sponsor.
In today's automotive market, maximizing existing profit centers and creating new ones is more than a savvy move. It's the biggest factor in getting the most out of every customer opportunity. What would it mean to improve your profit performance in every area of your dealership? More customer pay ROs. More finance gross from new and used vehicles. Fewer write-offs in service. Reduced time required to complete a deal. The key to all of that, and more, is giving your employees the freedom to drive revenue. Time they spend focused on manual processes is time that can, and should, be used in more profitable ways. When this happens, processes are redefined, employees are empowered, and attention can be turned back to the customer. It all adds up to your dealership becoming the best version of itself. The big question is, how much more do you stand to make? How would a 44.3% increase in service department gross affect you? What about a 25.7% increase in combined gross per new vehicle sold? Those aren't theoretical figures. They are real key performance indicators from a 3-year study of dealerships who gave their employees that freedom to do more with their time. With the right tools behind your revenue drivers, you'll see improved profit performance too. To see more key performance indicators from real dealerships like yours, visit reyrey.com/KPI and read the full Impact on Profitability report. That's reyrey.com/KPI.